But Holy Grail is the song that they play when championships and grand finals are awarded, and I'm sure it got a run in Milwaukee last week as the Bucks were too good for the Phoenix Suns, 4-2 in the NBA Finals. Chad Forcier, the assistant coach from the Bucks, was there riding it all the way through to the cutting of the net. He joins us on The Breakfast Club. Chad, welcome to the program.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
It's an honor to have you on the program. What a week it's been. What a season it's been for your Bucks. You've been there for a couple of years. Can you believe you finally did it with this group that's been built pretty much organically as opposed to trying to buy premierships and buy flags?
Yeah, it's a real privilege to be part of another championship experience. I had one before in San Antonio, but to see what has happened with this group since, John Horst, our general manager, Milt Newton, our assistant GM, their staff, our owners, obviously Coach Bud, the group has been working so hard for so long over the last, 3-4 years to try to put our team in position to do this, and just to watch it come together is deeply satisfying.
And there wasn't without some hiccups through the journey either, of Giannis's knee a couple of games ago, 2-0 down on the road to Phoenix to start the series. Did you ever get a bit jumpy that it wasn't going to be your time?
Yeah, the thing that happens for any team that enters the playoffs with championship aspirations is you realize that the first thing, after the obvious that you have to be good, you realize that you're also going to have to be fortunate with your health. It takes a certain measure of luck to be able to be the last team standing. And one of the ways that luck ends up being measured along the ride is with your health. And so, there were some other teams that were, of the 15 other teams that entered the playoff race, there were some other teams, obviously, that didn't have health go their way, that were excellent, teams that had, real shots at the championship as well. It didn't go their way. We had a measure of bad luck in the first round. We got the game 3 down in Miami in the first round, and we lost our starting shooting guard, Dante DiVincenzo, for the rest of the playoffs. So that was, that was a blow to our group that shook us a little bit. But, you have to move on, and fortunately we were able to. Then you speak about the episode that Giannis had with his knee in Atlanta in the conference finals, and that was obviously a very scary moment for the organization, obviously for Giannis, for all of us. And fortunately, luck was on our side when it came down to it. He didn't have any structural damage, and we were able to, he had teammates that were able to step up and get the job done and get us out of the conference final against Atlanta, get us to the finals. And Giannis worked his butt off to get healthy and be there for the team by game one of the finals. So we are for sure, just aware of the good fortune we had from a health standpoint, and we're counting our blessings, and we just feel grateful.
Chad, the sexy part of basketball is the scoring, the dunks, the highlight reel. That's what people see. That's what people almost love. But your team bought into defense. Now, how do you get a team full of superstars that are so highly paid to value the defensive end of the floor so much?
It's a great question, and the first thing that I can tell you is that, we're fortunate that they do so. But what it always takes is, your best player, your best players have to buy into that first. And the good news is that from the day that Coach Budenholzer, we call him Bud, when Coach Budenholzer got here 3 seasons ago in the offseason of 2018, and, his first year here was the 18-19 season, from day one, he came in, preaching defense. That was going to be our identity. That was going to be how we were going to build a sustainable winning culture. And that's how we were going to be able to compete for championships, was on the defensive end first. And, again, going back to the leadership of your team, when you talk about your best player, that's the way Giannis is built. First and foremost, from a high character standpoint as a human being, Giannis and Chris Middleton, who have been here, from day one when Coach Bud got here, they bought in. They played defense. They learned the defensive system that Coach was here to teach and here to execute. And they led the way. And when your best players do that, then everything else behind that falls into place. So we've been really fortunate. They're both built to play defense. And then as things have unfolded over the last 2 years, the the 1920 season and then this past season, you know, adding other players to that mixture. Obviously, you guys are aware we added Jrue Holiday, you know, in an off-season trade. And at the trade deadline, we added P.J. Tucker. So those are two guys that have built their careers on the defensive end of the floor first. And so they just fortified everything that we're all about from a defense-first mentality.
So what we see in our game now in terms of culture within an AFL team, now I'm not sure if you're aware of the Australian rules football here in Australia, it's about being vulnerable around your teammates. It looks like the culture at Milwaukee is very much that. Is that because so many guys have such different backstories? Like you mentioned PJ Tucker, he played over in Europe before he made his way back to the NBA. He's 36 years old now, and we saw the celebrations and how much he enjoyed them over there. Does that happen a lot in an NBA locker room where people are talking about their lives and what they've gone through as teenagers, as young adults? Does that happen to create a culture?
I love the question, and I think there's a lot of ways that it can be answered because, you know, people obviously have success in all different ways in our league, and they climb the mountaintop from different starting points and philosophies. But I've been fortunate to have a lot of great experiences and win in a lot of places with some other coaches. But the one thing I can say that's been a common denominator in the championship environments that I've been in is that, you know, coming from having, you know, nine years of my career were in San Antonio with the Spurs, you know, with Coach Greg Popovich. Obviously, Coach Bud spent, you know, put in a 19-year apprenticeship under Pop before he launched his head coaching career. And the one thing I can say from both places is we value character first. I mean, we're interested in who is the human being first. And if people aren't wired the right way in terms of their fiber and their character, you know, you're not going to be able to build a culture of success, of service to one another, of caring or interest about someone else's story or their background. And I just think that those common experiences that I've had have reflected just that. You start with character. Undoubtedly, you have to have enough talent in that recipe, but you've got to have top shelf character. And I think that we've had some experiences with some diverse background, people from, you know, different corners of the world, and it makes the experience just that much more interesting. It makes people interested in each other, and in the end, guys, what we found out was we just had a group of people on this team, whether it was all the players, the coaches, the front office, the performance staff, everybody, you know, interns, everybody here had a service first mindset, just caring about the person next to them and trying to make each other better. And it's amazing, you know, what can happen from a human spirit standpoint if that's the way you're built.
If you just join us on The Breakfast Club on a Monday morning, Chad Forcia is the voice you're listening to, Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach, world champion Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach. Just further to that, Chad, I'm intrigued because we're in the era of the super team in the NBA, and we watch from afar over here, and you see all these megastars that congregate together at one location and try and win championships because in the end that's what they feel it's all about. You're just talking about the service to the organization and to each other and the mindset that comes with that and the vulnerability you show to be a part of that. Do you think that now you've done what you've done in Milwaukee that the whole super team era might start to crumble a little bit and they might look a bit deeper into how to build organizations?
I really don't. Like I said, I think everybody that you know strives to, you know, for this endeavor to be the last team standing, people have different starting points, and you have to do it, you know, and be true to your own philosophy. You have to do it with respect to the realities and the constraints that represent, you know, your organization and where you are in your growth process. And so, I really don't think that there's a blueprint. People always say that, you know, the NBA is a copycat league, and you look at how the Bucks did it, there's going to be undoubtedly competitors that want to try to learn lessons and maybe draw some things that maybe they can apply to their situation. But again, at the end of the day, it has to line up with where your organization is at a given time. And all things told, people like to talk about the super teams, and at the, you know, when it comes down to it, players are smart enough to know that you know, no matter how great they are, you can't scale this mountain by yourself. You have to have competitive, talented teammates, you know, to help you get it done. Nobody can do this by themselves. And people like to do that in this era, you know, and it's been like this for a while. There's a lot of guys that enjoy having an opportunity to do it with their friends, you know, guys that they grew up with, you know, they have a background, whether they played AAU together, whether they've had an Olympic team experience together, whatever it may be. There's, you know, and if you put it in a personal context, what human being wouldn't enjoy going to work every day with someone that they had a common background with or somebody that they loved and cared about? So I don't, you know, react to that too much. And people will do what they want to do, and people are going to want to go live in cities that they find desirable. So things will happen as they may.
We spoke to Andrew Bogut last week after the championship, after the victory, and of course he was a number one draft pick for the Bucks all those years ago, and he talked about the small market teams and the challenges that they all face, and you are one of the small market teams. But do you think that with this success and with this culture you've created that you might get more superstars wanting to be a part of it that come across from free agency or through trade situations that now they want to be a Buck?
Gosh, I appreciate that question, and I'll tell you what, I sure hope it works that way. There's really no way of telling. You know, I think that there's enough players out there that are attracted to, you know, championship-level competitive opportunities, you know, players that want to be in a healthy, strong culture, players that want to, you know, play with other good players that, you know, that can enhance and fortify their skill set or even their career. So that's, of course, a great hope. But, you know, again, you don't know what an individual human being is attracted to and what their motivations are. But we'll see how it plays out.
Now, Chad, you talk about individuals, and Giannis is attracted to, I guess, the journey of it all. I was fortunate enough to go to the States and watch him play very, very early in his career, and there was no superstar to start his career, but he has worked and worked and worked. The man's only 26 years old, and he's achieved now everything in basketball. Why is he so... I know he's humble beginnings, but sometimes people with humble beginnings, they turn into real arrogant people. But Giannis has continued along that path of just being completely humble and completely hardworking. Is he just a joy to work with?
He really is. And before I go too far down the road of just speaking about Giannis, it would be a mistake to overlook Chris Middleton. Yeah. I think that Chris Middleton is someone that gets under-recognized. You know, Giannis's star power is, of course, so significant on a global level right now. But anyone that pays attention to our team, whether they got to watch us during the finals or they've watched longer, Chris Middleton is such a significant, you know, mega talent that is just, again, under-recognized in many situations. And the thing that I appreciate so much is Chris and Giannis have been doing this together from day one. And, you know, they started together at the same, you know, in the same starting blocks. They've grown together. They've built a relationship. They've gone through hard knocks. They've shared their successes and failures, and they've reached this place together at the same time. So I think to watch the two of them grow their relationship and their partnership and their responsibility and stewardship for our organization has been a remarkable story. To get back specifically to Giannis, what I can say is that, you know, I'll point to character again. It's just the way that he's wired. I'm sure that if you were to ask Giannis personally, he'd point directly, you know, to his late father and, of course, his mother, and give them the credit for how he's been built. I think he would undoubtedly credit his brothers for keeping him in a grounded place and keeping him humble. But it's the way Giannis is built. He's full of humility. He's as high character of a human being as you're going to encounter.
Now, Chad, you go all the way back to 1992 with the Seattle Supersonics as an intern yourself, but you've been an assistant right through your career. What's next for you now? You're a two-time NBA champion as an assistant coach. Is there higher honors that could be potentially available to you in your coaching career?
I'd like to think so. I really hope to have an opportunity, you know, sooner than later to interview for a head coaching job in this league and have a shot to, you know, to get one of these, you know, 30 opportunities, in the NBA. And, you know, it takes a lot of things to unfold for those things to happen for anybody that, that gets the opportunity. But I hope that, that you know, eventually I'll get that shot.
Well, it's an unbelievable opportunity that may present, and certainly you qualify the way you're talking to us today. You're very, very keen to get forward and have your crack at senior coach or mate, head coaching there in the NBA. And hopefully you get that chance, Chad, but well done on the whole organisation's performance this year. It's been a tough couple of years with COVID. Everyone's managed it really well, but to see the performance of your team through the NBA Finals was just magnificent. Really appreciate you coming on the program this morning, and enjoy the rest of the celebrations.
Thank you, mate. Before I go, let me just say I just appreciate you guys taking time to check in on the Milwaukee Bucks across the seas, and thanks for the interest. Thanks for your support, and it's been an honor to be on, and I'll give a shout-out to a dear countryman, Patty Mills, and Australia's over there playing. I got to spend a long time with Patty in San Antonio and feel like he's a family member to me, so always cheering for the green and gold over there. Go Boomers.
Ah, nice work. Yes, go Boomers indeed. Thank you, Chad. Great to have you with us on The Breakfast Club. Chad Forcia, the Milwaukee Bucks assistant coach, world champion assistant.